And welcome to Here We Stand. I'm your regular host, Kevin Annett, Eagle Strong Voice. This is the voice of the Republic and the Resistance. And that was Bella Ciao, a song written by the Italian Resistance during World War II, the anti-fascist resistance. And I would say that's very appropriate for our struggle these days, wouldn't you, folks? We're here every Sunday, the voice of the Republic. And today we're going to carry on with Paul of the Kaliba family from last week and other guests. All of the organizers, active citizens with the Republic of Canada, we're going to talk about how we fight this system and where this police state came from. What is the nature of it? We shared last week with people about Paul's case. And for those who are tuning in for the first time, on January 8th, Paul of the Kaliba family, who was a leading citizen and official of the Republic, was kidnapped at gunpoint under an unendorsed warrant by the Durham Regional Police. For 3 weeks, he was imprisoned unlawfully in the Central East Correction Center in Lindsay, Ontario, denied habeas corpus, subjected to physical assaults, pepper spraying, denial of food and water, and psychological and physical torture. Paul is free now, but continues to face a campaign of attacks and false charges, which are threatening his life and liberty. Now, by sending a citizen of another nation and seizing them and transporting him into imprisonment and torture, Crown officials in Canada have perpetrated what's called an extraordinary rendition, which is a crime against humanity under international law. This attack on him is an attack on all of us, all Republic citizens. Now, in response, the National Council this past week, the National Council of the Republic, has made an application in international courts and is petitioning to create a common law court of justice within Canada that charges Crown, police, judicial, penal, and government officials with engaging in a criminal conspiracy and a crime against humanity. Paul's case has already been debated in the arenas of the international human rights agencies, and it is even being brought forward before media groups in Europe now as we speak. There's also an application to have international peacekeepers come to Canada to protect Paul and others. All of this is in the works, and it's all a great lesson as to not only the nature of the police state in Canada, but the alternative, a free Republic of Canada. You can follow our work, murderbydecree.com, republicofcanada.ca, but I'm going to bring on now our guest, Paul of the Kaliba family, his co-worker in the Canadario Assembly, Krista, and Dana, who's a convener and organizer for the Republic on the West Coast. Welcome to all of you.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hi. Now, I'd like to start with you, Paul, but this is going to be an open discussion with the four of us. Anyone who wants to jump in with comments, questions of any kind, it's an open forum. But, Paul, let me ask you, first of all, since our interview last week, what are there extraordinary things that have happened? What is your situation now?
Last Sunday there, after the radio show, there was two court appearances scheduled for the Tuesday. One of them that I had no consent over, it was scheduled from a lawyer who was not retained on the matter, and he had scheduled something called a judicial pretrial. This was while I was in confinement for 21 days. With no paperwork whatsoever. I had never been given any warrants or any court documents for 21 days. So on the outside, I had my friend Krista, who's here next to me as well. She had been in contact with a previous lawyer who was working on my file. And this lawyer had scheduled a judicial pretrial, which is basically a conference. It's supposed to be a conference hearing in regards to trying to resolve the matter before going to a trial, I believe. And so that one was at 9 o'clock. It's supposed to be at 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. And again, you know, just speaking to, I believe it was a Justice P.K. Bernstein, he would not even disclose what jurisdiction the court was under or what law he was acting under on the bench ranting on about how he had all this authority and I think he was quoting things from the Criminal Code of Canada and he was just disregarding everything I was saying, just trying to get clarification on the matter. It was pretty unlawful.
I listened to some of the recording that you made of his comments, and they were quite unbelievable for somebody who claims to be a judge. He said things like, "We don't proceed on the basis of whether you consent or not. You don't have a right to demand anything." I mean, isn't that kind of a pretty blatant statement about what you're dealing with?
Yeah, I mean, it was basically, you know, like I said, the first couple questions I ask anytime I'm coerced into these phone court matters, which are unlawful to begin with and a violation of all our rights. I don't see how anyone can hold a court over a cell phone if that's not, ridiculous as it sounds. But, the first couple questions I always ask, it's always whenever you go to a court or wherever you're confronted by one of these agents of a police force, it's always, what's your name, what's your date of birth, before any other information is asked. And same thing in the court, right? Like, what's your name? What's your name? It's just thrown upon you. And I the first thing I always say is, sorry, before I answer any questions, because I'm on a cell phone, like, who are you and what court is this? And, most of the time they answer that, they tell they're a judge or a justice or, whatever they want to call themselves. I don't refer to them as either, but, And then they will tell the name of the court, and the court that I'm dealing with right now is the Ontario Court of Justice, which is a service corporation court. It's not, under any sort of common law as we know it. And then the questions that these justices and judges always seem to squirm away from is, what law are you acting under on the bench, and what is the jurisdiction of the court? Two very simple questions that you would think someone who's, graduated from law school would be able to answer, but they never seem to be able to answer those questions.
Well, let's hold that thought for a minute, Paul, because that's a very important question, because everything is always about power and perception. And I do want to ask Krista or Dean if they have any comments or questions, but just a general point to listeners, what we're doing today is we're looking at the system that causes this, not simply what's happened to Paul, but... because it's a great illustration of this, but how is it they get away with all of this? Well, the short answer is they're operating under a false criminal jurisdiction. And the thing I found interesting, Paula, they're really hung up on this phrase, failure to identify, which, you wouldn't identify yourself. What it really meant is you wouldn't enter into their jurisdiction. And you mentioned an interesting thing to me earlier, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 15, allows us to change our nationality. That's one of the basic human rights. We have changed our nationality. We're citizens of the Republic, and you seem to have been targeted for that.
Yeah, the failure to identify actually is what the original arrest charge was in 2019 of June. So that's what I'm being criminalized and harassed for, was basically not... disclosing to a agent of the Durham Regional Police what my legal persona name was, which is actually my right. As I stated before, in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it clearly states everyone has the right to recognition everywhere as a person before the law. And if you want to look what the word person means, the interpretation of it, you can find that in the Interpretations Act of Canada, I believe it's in Article 35, and it clearly says any word or expression of a descriptive of a person includes a corporation. And this Interpretations Act of Canada, that definition word person can only mean a corporation. And then if you further break down the word corporation in the law dictionaries, it's a legal entity or artificial person. So it does not, the word person is not representing or has the meaning of a natural person or a living man or woman.
No.
In law.
Well, corporation, and then, corporation literally means corpse or dead body. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's where corporation derived from, right? So when you're going in front of these judges in there, or even a police officer, whatever province or nation you're under, and they're asking you to identify yourself. They're basically asking you to take recognition as a entity or a subject or a corpse of that nation. And what they're doing by you identifying yourself and you taking that recognition puts you under the authority of that state. In Canada, it would be under the Crown, which is why if anyone's ever had a traffic ticket, if you ever had a traffic ticket and you look, you get an email or something in writing from the courts, it's always the letter R, which stands for Rex or Regina, King or Queen, versus, and then they have your family name all in capitals, which would represent your legal persona before their fraudulent jurisdiction. So people are going into these courts thinking and believing that these matters are pertaining to them as a living man or woman, and right in the law, it basically states quite otherwise. So,
right now, so let me ask first of all, Krista or Dana, if you have any questions or thoughts from anything that's been said so far. Anyone?
Krista, you want to go first?
No, you go.
Okay, well, I just want to say I totally identify with what Paul's saying, because we've had actually a lot of similar situations here on the West Coast with myself and our citizens and our assembly, where you go into a store or you go into a library, and, if you're not wearing a mask and you don't identify with your ID, they call the police because they just do not understand common law. Most people, including the police, the RCMP officers, do not understand common law and a right to stand as the free man or woman on the soil. And so we've had one of our citizens arrested in a store because he refused to identify. I was banned from my library because I refused to identify. So, I mean, we totally see this happening all over our country. The police and the staff in these stores and companies, they do not understand what is a person, what is a free person on the soil. So, like, I just wanted to say I've had the same problems. So it's education of our police officers, of our RCMP officers, because I do believe some of them are good people, but they're not educated. They don't understand what is that we do have the right not to identify with government ID and identify as common law, natural law, free beings on this soil,
Right. And the other reason, of course, is that they all take a personal oath of allegiance to a woman in London who is a false authority and a criminally convicted authority.
Yes.
Yeah, but to be honest, I don't even think a lot of these, I just call them agents, but, you can call them police, whatever you want to call them. They don't even, they're hired not for their, knowledge on law. They're hired for their blind obedience, really.
That's
I just had
true.
A friend the other day. Yeah, I just had a friend the other day who was in No Frills, and they called the cops on the employees called the cops on him because apparently a medical exemption was not grounds for not wearing a mask. And once the police came and they were scolding him for 45 minutes, and they wanted to have his name and identity and all that. My friend called the department the next day and had things resolved because the sergeant had to look into it, and she apologized and said, sorry, our officers are not trained on these new, if you want to call them enactments, legislation, rules, regulations. They're not laws. They're just, rules that, the state wants to give them force of law. But, it does. It just derives down to, what can states pass through legislation or their government as laws, and what can they not? And it's basically, if you just scroll into the Canadian Constitution section 52 under general, it clearly states, and again, I don't really use the Canadian Constitution anymore because I'm not a citizen of Canada, but it states in their own nation, the Constitution of Canada is the supreme law of Canada, and any law that is inconsistent with the provisions of the Constitution is, to the extent of the inconsistency, of no force or effect. So they already know they're going to be writing, rules and regulations that are inconsistent with our rights, and they're basically leaving it up to the people to figure it out for themselves, and even the police, right? They're not even educating the police about law. And I'm I don't have, formal knowledge in law. I never went to law school. But you don't really need to go to law school to learn your rights. And I have the common sense, I can't go around, pointing a gun at somebody's head. But, this is what occurred to me on January 8th for these, sworn-in police officers who swore an oath to uphold the Constitution and uphold all our rights and freedoms, somehow felt they had this lawful authority on January 8th in the morning to pull over my vehicle with force and to have about 5 or 6 or 7 guns pointed at my head. And once I, was released after 21 days, and I looked at where they thought they got their lawful authority from, is just the most frivolous, ridiculous warrant that anyone could ever see. I mean, there's no signatures on the endorsements. There's no signatures on entry into a dwelling. I mean, if I was a police officer and I was given this warrant and I looked at it and I was, told to execute it, I would be handing it over to the new guy, because there's no way in hell that I'm going to accept liability.
Right. Well, that's really an important point about the unendorsed warrant, Paul, because the very fact that they can use, unlawful warrants, no paperwork, they've got you outside their formal system, and they're a law unto themselves. Because while it's true what you quoted in the Constitution, what supersedes that is Crown authority. And Crown authority can abolish all of that in an instant, because it's all an act of Parliament. Right, which is revocable at any moment, as we've seen all around us every day. So it really always comes back. And I love your point when you said, when we were talking earlier, the system isn't as powerful or as intelligent as it appears to be, because when you look at these people up close, they really often don't know what they're doing, right? And that's the amazing thing.
I can attest to that.
I just want to say, Paul,
that I want to thank you from all of us on the West Coast for what you've done, standing up so bravely for Republic of Canada citizens, to fight our fight, because truly what we are about is just, educating people about our rights as free beings on this planet. And I can just say, I found that prison when you were in there. I phoned that prison about 13, 14 times, sometimes twice a day. I demanded to know who was the superintendent. They said it was Kelly Jolicoeur. To this day, we don't know if this is a man or a woman, as this person can be found under both man and a woman working for the Ministry of the Ontario, I think, Solicitor General that runs the prisons. And so, you can see that they're operating on deceit. I phoned the operator. The operator said he is not here. Then I would get their voicemail, and it's a woman's voice. And I would leave, voicemail messages demanding your freedom or suffer the consequences of being fined, $500,000 for torture of Paul Kaliba, of the family Kaliba. And I saw the deceit. These people don't know what they're doing in there. And then, like you said, Paul, 10 days later after we were phoning, you saw a difference, that these people are not that powerful because they were buckling under our protests.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, I dealt with the same thing in there, and it really is, it's criminal deception. There's a ghost of a superintendent. That's what they actually, that's what some of the correctional officers referred to this superintendent as. Whoa, he's a bit of a ghost. We never actually see him. I go, well, that's interesting. Okay. But yeah, I was told, and I was, on numerous occasions, I demanded to speak with this superintendent. I want to know who was calling the shots on keeping me there and why I wasn't being given any paperwork. I wasn't even given the original warrant. I wasn't given any, orders from the courts. So Their answer a lot of times is, well, you haven't identified yourself. And I'm like, well, how long can you hold an unidentified individual in your care and custody Well, as long as we want. I mean, like, the deception and the lies in this facility are beyond my understanding of how a true North, strong and free nation could run. I mean, that's what
yeah, and this is, you know, and this is the Central East Correctional Center in Lindsay, Ontario, where you cannot find an email address anywhere to send anything to anybody. So all we could do was phone, you know, every day we phoned. And there's, you can't find an email address. You know, I did find an email address for Serco, by the way. Serco runs the prisons in Canada. They actually run the prisons all over the world. They're located in the UK. And I did email Alan Hill, who is the North American media contact. So I emailed him. I phoned him. I let him know about the radio show. And his email address is alan.hill@serco-na.com. So he's our media contact in North America, just so you guys know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting, Paul, when you said, you know, the way the system operates, what I, you know, all people have to do is go stand outside places like the former residential school in Brantford and look at the mass grave there of children. And I'm thinking, how the hell did they get away with murdering tens of thousands of children illegally? Nobody ever went to jail for it. They pat themselves on the back. You know, in that kind of society, anything is possible. So none of this stuff really surprises me, you know, that they would operate this way, you know.
Yeah. No, we're definitely dealing with, you know, the Crown authority in Canada, unfortunately, is a criminal, you know, foreign criminal regime. And they're not acting, their justice system is not acting under any kind of due process. I mean, everything is arbitrary. I mean, even when I got picked up in 2019 for the first time, I mean, whatever an agent or officer would write down on paper would be considered true, and you don't even have an opportunity to challenge the evidence in a bail court. It's basically, you know, I was arrested for falsely arrested for failure to identify, and then of course, you know how it goes. As you're lying on the ground and your hands are on your back, you know, stop resisting, you're assaulting police, right? And then they want to throw a couple of those charges in there to make things look worse. And, yeah, and by the end of it, I think there was like 13 charges. Highway Traffic Act charges, which is one of the most fraudulent acts in Canada, the Ontario one. It's the most fraudulent act in Ontario. It doesn't even pertain to anyone using a vehicle for personal use. You know, third grader could read it and realize that Section 32 licensing, there's zero arresting powers. If you drive a motor vehicle on a highway in Ontario without a driver's license, as listed under Section 32 of the Highway Traffic Act, an officer under Section 217 has zero arresting powers from the Highway Traffic Act. And they also have zero arresting powers from the Criminal Code of Canada. And the reason is because the Highway Traffic Act never, ever pertained to somebody operating a motor vehicle or traveling around for their own personal use. It was passed through legislation under Trade and Commerce.
Okay, well,
and it flowed down from
here's the question.
Yeah.
If where do they get their authority from then? What's the short answer? If they're not authorized to do what they're doing, where are they getting the authority from?
So it comes down from that Article 6 in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and it comes down from which flowed into the International Covenant, Article 16. Again, everyone shall have the right to recognition as a person ever before the law. So you'll notice throughout the entire Highway Traffic Act, you're using the word person. And what they're doing is the first thing you get pulled over by one of these agents is, what's your name? What's your date of birth? Give me your license, right? And the second that you do that, you are taking recognition as a person. And then once you take recognition as a person, then they can enforce the enactment on you. And they're saying you did that of your own right, by the way. It was your right to take recognition. They never told you that that's what was occurring. But once you do, right, and then they try to say, well, if you don't identify yourself, you're going to be arrested for failure to identify, which is,
under what authority? Yeah. What is their authority to do that? Where does it come from?
Well, it basically, it's arbitrary. They really don't have authority to do
it. They're making it up.
They've been,
It's fiction.
It's fiction, but you know,
this is what people don't understand.
It's like a guy with a gun telling everyone what to do. It's no more complex than that. And, you know, here's the bigger issue. I don't want to lose sight of this, too, because we're already halfway through the show. But I want to talk about the bigger issue that you faced extraordinary rendition under international law. You're like the guy in the orange jumpsuits in Guantanamo Bay. You're kidnapped, tortured, and held illegally, unlawfully in a prison. So we have been telling groups in different countries about this, and there's already been an offer, and I don't want to say where the country is, but they've already offered to see if they can get international peacekeepers and observers to come to Canada and help you in that situation and help us if we're going to set up a common law court, you know, to adjudicate charges against these people. So that's because they understand that what you went through is a crime against humanity, and we can't, you know, ignore that fact. We can't forget it. You know, that's really the issue here. Why don't we talk a little bit about that and what the impact that can have? Because it's a war crime, basically, what they did to you.
Yeah, it's all been by design, right? It all comes from the top down. And, you know, it happened to the natives on this land before us, and it's happening to us now. And, it's unbelievable. When you actually open your eyes to what's going on, it's pretty sickening, to be honest with you. Like, I used to be a very, I used to think very good of Canada and the justice system and everything. But once learning your rights and experiencing what's going on and learning the true history of Canada, we're definitely not free, or we're not the true North, strong and free. That's for sure. It's just, we're living under an oppressive and tyrannical system of crown authority. And it's been like that for many hundreds of years.
You know, the neat thing about these international observers is they have the power to make reports to their own governments and to censor Canada in various international forums. This is one of the things we found in the whole campaign about genocide. This is what tipped the scale and made the churches and governments start to acknowledge stuff, because they were getting bad press all over the world after we took the campaign to Europe. And they are very concerned about this kind of stuff. You know, Canada is a tourism and trading nation, and they're very sensitive to international boycotts of any kind. So, I mean, this is an Achilles heel for their system, and we have to keep pressing on this whole issue of rendition. And any citizen of the Republic can be targeted by that. It was almost like shot across our bow to threaten us, to make us scared that, you know, if you join the Republic, you might face what Paul of the Kaliba family did, right?
Yeah, and it's not just citizens of the Republic. I mean, we're definitely on the front lines fighting for our rights, but we're also fighting for the rights of every other Canadian, to be honest with you. Uh-huh. And I mean, look what's happening right now. You know, businesses are being closed down. People are losing their livelihoods. They're losing their houses. Like, and because they don't know what to do. They don't really know what's going on. You know, they're being ticketed here, ticketed there, you know. And a lot of them, I feel like a lot of them are want to fight back, and you know, they feel something's wrong, but they don't actually know the root of what's going on and how their rights are being violated. Stop identifying.
Yes,
hello,
totally
Paul.
Agree,
there,
Paul. Yep.
Yeah. If there is
Paul,
no,
I should just say your phone keeps kicking out. I don't know if it needs charging or something, but you went off again for about 5 seconds.
Oh, okay. What was the last thing I said there?
Oh, I was hearing. No, I was hearing him fine.
Oh, okay, really?
Yeah. Basically, you know, people just need to stop identifying. If there is no verified civilian claim of any harm or damage against them, and it's just a agent of a police, corporation, whether it's the OPP or, you know, Durham or Toronto, you have no obligation whatsoever to identify or even talk to that individual. You just say, I don't answer questions. Have a nice day. And it's right. You're not doing anything against the law. You're actually exercising your right to maintain your recognition as a living man and woman. And when you do that, all your human rights are protected in law, or they're supposed to be. Maybe not Canadian law, but international law, definitely. So.
Yeah, and I think we, you know, I agree, Paul. I think we need to educate everybody. I mean, a lot of people do their own research, and you're amazing at how knowledgeable you are and how much research you've done, but most people have not done that. And, you know, I do a lot of public meet and greets with individuals who are interested in Republic of Canada. And how is this possible? And I always get these questions. How is it possible that we can stand up for our own freedoms as a living human being on this planet when we have all these laws that are, you know, telling us what to do? How is it possible that we can fight our own common law cases in our own courts? And, you know,
let's,
it's like always, how is this possible? And then, like Kevin, you said, it starts in your mind. That once you believe that it's possible, you know, then it's possible. Then we can create our court systems, our judges, our work communities, and it starts in the mind. And what we're dealing with right now is a virus of the mind where people are so afraid to speak up and to exercise their human rights. I've been put down by friends, by family, called crazy, you know, and the only family that I can really call my family are my, you know, Republic of Canada family. Sorry for getting emotional. It's been quite a fight.
All right. Okay.
No, it's difficult.
Yeah. We're all experiencing, right? Like even my family,
yeah.
You know, they support me as a family member, but they have no idea on what's going on. And I mean, why I'm fighting this. And I mean, if you don't see wrong, and you don't fight against it, nothing will ever change, right? And
exactly. And you know, we're not doing this just for us. We are doing this for the children, for, you know, our children, their children. We are not doing, because we're being called selfish for trying to do what we're doing and not wearing masks and fighting the system. So we're the selfish ones. We're the program ones, but we are not doing this just for us. We're doing this for the future generations so they can truly be free, you know?
Yeah,
and I don't know if you want to jump in. I want to give Krista the chance to say anything, because I know you're sometimes hard to break into others, but if you want to add anything.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Krista's been researching this stuff. You know, she's used her own avenues, but yeah, she's experiencing the same stuff as us. And
my family has called me crazy.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yep, same.
It's a question that comes up a lot, and you're right that it begins with our own mind. But here's the thing. People, when they say, how can we do it? Well, you can't do it as an individual. That's the point.
No.
We organize an alternative for people, because often when people seem to be going along with something, it doesn't mean they necessarily agree with it. It means they don't see an alternative. And I don't mean just for themselves, because education often starts, it's just an individual thing. A lot of common law groups talk about educating, but what we're doing is setting up an alternative system altogether. And you get your feet wet doing it. That's how you learn. So, I mean, for example, we passed the September 8th law in the Council of Common Law Assemblies across Canada. And now, under that law, you put on a mask, you quarantine, you distance, any of that, you're breaking the law of Canada. And we got to say to people, you know, this is a binding law. It was passed by we the people. Now, even citizens are saying, yeah, but can I enforce it? How do we go about enforcing it? We should talk about that. The methods we use, things we've learned. This is one of the purposes of this program.
Yeah, I think spreading, you know, what we've learned, obviously, to other people is the main thing, too. It's just teaching people that there's two jurisdictions in the Canadian courts. One of statutory, where you're being viewed as a legal entity, a corpse, and the other of inherent, and how, you know, the regulations applying to the legal fiction are the ones that are controlling them. And when people actually wake up to this and they realize this is how their current government and legal system, because legal pertains to legal fiction, is controlling them, right? If you're doing something illegal, if they say you're doing something illegal, that completely pertains to a legal person, and unlawful pertains to a living man and woman. So, If like I said before, if you haven't done anyone any harm or wrong, and there's been no civilian verified claim, then, and you're in a court and there's no victim there that is trying to seek a remedy or justice over your actions,
then you're basically being viewed as a legal person, which is a dead entity, and a subject of the Queen. And if that's the way you want to live your life, with no liberty, and you just want to follow the directives of these, you know, black-robed criminal judges and, you know, the lawmakers, then, you know, go right ahead. But we do have other rights, and, you know, I've left the jurisdiction of Canada, and I'm still fighting with them, because they obviously, you know, being a criminal, you know, government, they don't want to recognize my rights or our rights. But, you know, if this is what we got to do to show others that you actually don't have rights in Canada, then we'll do it until we get our rights back, because this cannot go on for the next 100 years.
So, we also show others that system.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we're creating that support system, right? So
I had a question come in for one of our listeners. Say, what would a common law court look like in practice? Well, I mean, you can find the layout of how to set up a common law court in our book, Common Law Training Manual, murderbydecree.com. All the books are listed there. But don't forget as well, you know, the idea of, and I'd like everyone's thoughts on this, the idea of us setting up a court is pretty daunting. But don't forget, once you form a chartered assembly, 12 or more people sign a chartered assembly to become part of the Republic. You are a lawful body. You can pass your own laws. That's how it started on the West Coast, and then nationally. That's how we passed these anti-COVID laws within the assembly. So you begin by forming a chartered assembly and debate, you know, what is the case you want to bring? How do you go about charging somebody? How does it work? How do you get sheriffs to enforce it? How do you get the police on side? All of this, we need concrete examples to show people. Otherwise, it's a lot of words to people. They need to see something in practice that offers that alternative. And that's really the challenge these days, yeah, to go from the yeah theory to the practice, right?
But yes, also I believe, yeah, Kevin, what you're saying is 100% true. Like, people need to, you know, people hear a lot of words and talking, but we need to start acting. Like, for example, we are planning for Paul, we're planning a demonstration in my city where we're going to go up with signs that say Canada's, you know, we are, this is, Canada is Gitmo, you know. We are full of corrupt prisons that torture and you know, cause crimes against humanity against our own citizens. So we are going up with signs. We're going to be filming it. We're going to be putting it up on our websites. You know, we created our own Kanata store, which is www.kanatastore.com, where you can order merchandise with our flags, and you can buy our flags. And we have blogs with all the news about Paul and everything that's going on with us. So it's action, you know. We need to get out there. We talk to people every week. We meet the public every week. And just educating people by action. This is what we really need to start focusing on.
Yeah, and convening a common law court, well, the first thing you would need is the verified civilian claim, right? So there would have to be some sort of claim by somebody, you know, claiming that they've been subject to some harm or damage in some way, which there's no verified claims against me to this day. But now I have a whole bunch. I have some against an officer in Durham named Officer Harding. I have one of the recent arrest who executed a fraudulent warrant of Officer Bustard. I have another verified civilian claim that's going to go against one of the deputies at this correctional facility. So now we're going to teach them what common law is. And it's basically when you are the victim of harm and damage, which I've been the victim of harm and damage. So, and aside from that, convening a common law court is being a court of where you're, oh, how do you say it, Chris? So it's jury, 12 jury of your peers, to be judged by right, 12 members of society of your nation, and have a determination from a jury of your peers, not going into a court with one black robe judge that works for a service corporation that is basically upholding a fraudulent justice system. You cannot trust a court system like that. They are not there to uphold your rights, that's for sure. So
And who will be our judge in our common law court, Kevin?
Well, a judge,
in a common law system, a judge doesn't have the authority they have in these bogus courts here where they can rewrite court records, you know, dismiss juries, all of that. The source of power in a common law court is the jury itself. And in American tradition, juries have even rewritten the law. They've struck down laws. They don't just decide things on the basis of facts presented in a case. They actually are a source of the law, of creating the law. And so, you know, that's where the grand jury system came in America, where citizens can do their own investigations and bring criminal charges against bodies. That's the grand jury tradition in America. Now, we did that in Europe. We brought criminal charges against the Vatican, the Crown of England. That's where the Republic of Canada came out of, because as a convicted criminal body, you know, found guilty by the people based on solid evidence that they never refuted, they're disestablished as an authority. That's why we need the Republic. But all of that came out of citizens' tribunals, common law courts. And any, don't forget, and this is a kicker, any court in the world can issue arrest warrants on the basis of citizen tribunals and verdicts. So even if we don't have the power to arrest, others can. There can be international arrest warrants issued against these people who put you in prison, John, Paul. So, I mean, we have, you know, that's a big issue people always have. How are we going to enforce it? We can rely on the system itself. We can deputize the police. We can get other countries to bring pressure. It's all in our power to do that.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, what I've actually noticed, you know, with everything that's going on is not just our group. There are many groups across Canada that are fighting these fraudulent courts. And I think, to be honest with you, they're starting to get backed into a corner. Like, they're not even doing the hearings in person anymore. They're hiding behind their little telephones, and some of them are video appearances, but most of them are phone courts now because they don't even want to face the people anymore when they're, you know, perpetrating this fraud. But, you know, they're on their last legs, these judges, you know, and again, it all comes down to ignorance of the law. They are ignorant of the law, whether they've done it willfully or ignorantly. They have committed mass crimes against people on this land. And there's definitely going to be, you know, restitution for that soon. Injustice.
Well, you know, it's funny the way the system works is if we get big enough, and we will, we've got our support growing all the time, the system tries to co-opt it. So you could see a movement developing where, okay, we're going to have a republic now in Canada, but all that's going to change is we'll have a president instead of the queen. Everything else stays the same. I mean, you see these movements, that's how they co-opted the whole genocide issue. And so we always have to be on the alert of the way the system tries to outflank us and use our own knowledge and words against us. We have to do the same to them. That's kind of basic Sun Tzu, the art of war, right?
Yeah, no, you can tell they're on their last legs. I mean, when they have to start, you know, doing what they're doing to get people to comply, you know, torture and confine and, you know, assault. I mean, when you have to resort to those types of tactics, you've already lost. You know, I'm not a violent person. I have not committed one violent act against any of these officers or agents, whatever you want to call them, or anyone in this whole situation. I was actually called a very respectful person in this correctional facility. A lot of them, a lot of it, what's happening is ignorance. And when people start waking up, and those that are held accountable, you know, the ones at the top, like judges and, you know, the top rankings at these correctional facilities and even police departments, when they're held accountable, because they're the ones, it's a chain of command, right? Others will start to follow suit. It's a leadership thing, really.
It really is, and really, like we talk about so many times in our meetings, you got to turn the she, like the Sun Tzu art of war, you turn the she, you turn their energy to our benefit. We flip the energy focus to our benefit. And it's like I say to, you know, a lot of people say to me, you know, we've got to ask Justin Trudeau to change our laws. We've got to protest and ask Bonnie Henry to change for us. We've got to ask Theresa Tam to change laws. And like you say, Kevin, all the time, we've got to stop asking these corrupt puppets to change our the laws for us. They will never do that because they are puppets of the British crown that wants to control us. So what we need to do is we need to exit the system. We will never win. We will never be free within their system. So we need to form our own nation within Canada. It's the only way we will be free.
Now, we've got about 5 minutes left. I want to give you both a chance to, you know, I know, Paul, you don't want to talk too much about strategy now or anything, which is fine. But if you want to give out any contact information, anybody want to make an announcement, let's do it now.
Well, as you know, our email for our assembly, which we've named Canadario Assembly, Canadario meaning sparkling water in native language, and it's actually where the word Ontario derived from, but Ontario is considered a corporation. Canadario is not. We're just we just sort of mapped out a geographical area of the people that are in our assembly, and it is growing. But yeah, we have our email, which is canadarioassembly@outlook.com. Right now, I'm about, I don't know, 21 days and counting behind and catching up with emails, you know, because I've been obviously taken out of my life for 3 weeks, and I'm just trying to catch up, and I have priorities that I have to catch up on first. But yeah, the best contact for me and our assembly is Canadario Assembly. We're not going anywhere. We have the right to peacefully assemble. I don't know why people think that assembly means protesting. I mean, you do have the right to protest, that's fine, but the right to peacefully assemble is to create your own self-governing assemblies. If you're not happy with how, you know, you're being governed, you know, stand up for yourself and the people in your area and start creating your own assemblies and self-governing. And you can do it under the Republic of Canada, or you can do it under another nation if you want. I mean, it's completely up to you guys. But I mean, you know, a lot of work has already been done with the Republic of Canada. And I, for one, believe and love what, you know, you stand for and all the work that you've done for the Republic, Kevin. So that's why I stand with you and all other citizens.
Dana, go ahead.
Yeah, and for West Coast... on the West Coast, we do have the Greater Vancouver Assembly right now, which is growing all the time. So you can contact us. This is a long email. It's pretty simple. Republic of Canada Vancouver Assembly at protonmail.com. And, you know, we can definitely set up, we do meet and greets, like I said, with people all the time, new people who want information. We're forming cell groups all over Greater Vancouver. So cell groups basically work with, they are cell groups situated in your neighborhood, in your area where you live. And you have anywhere from 3 to 5 people, and you work closely together. You work on actions every week. And then we also meet as an assembly every week. We do actions where we meet the public every week. We hand out, you know, I think like you said, Kevin, we've got to let people know that we've passed our own law against COVID restrictions. We've created a notice of liability for $500,000 for anybody that tries to impose wearing masks, lockdowns, vaccines. I mean, these are legitimate documents that we have passed as an assembly. And that is your right to claim right as human rights. I mean, these are your human rights, and we need to start exercising that. And then again, actions coming up with a protest demonstration at coming up at the courts.
Right.
So all kinds of different things going on. I'm very excited, and I just want to say, Kevin, you know, your birthday's on Wednesday. Happy birthday. And thank you so much. You've really changed my life, and I've really found my purpose.
Thank you. Thank you all. It's been a fantastic show. And Paul and Kristen, Dana will carry it on. The flame of the Republic and of liberty, it'll never go out. I want to tell people that next week's show is also going to be very special. We have a sister movement in France. I was just speaking to one of their organizers. And in France, they're doing exactly what we're doing. They're reclaiming the country. They've even set up their own alternative police force politicians, soldiers, the police are breaking from the corporate system and establishing their own assemblies. We're going to have Eva, who's an organizer with it. She's totally bilingual, and she's going to talk about our sister movement in France next week, so please tune in for that. And until next week, learn more at republicofcanada.ca, murderbydecree.com, write to Republic National Council at protonmail.com if you want to take up citizenship. Get on board with the campaign, especially to defend Paul. His next court appearance is February 23rd. We've got a rally support before then. So until next week, stay strong, stay clear. We're going to end with a song by Phil Oakes. If we don't do it now, folks, then when? Stay strong, stay clear. This is Kevin Annett, Eagle Strong Voice for the Republic. I thank you.